Okay, I have my microphone on now. I don't think I had my microphone on when I greeted you this morning. Since this is the 8 o'clock traditional service, we stand for the gospel. So if you want to stand, you're invited to. From John chapter 20, our Easter gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable now in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's an interesting sermon title in light of the fact this is probably my last Easter sermon that I will preach as a pastor, because my plan has and remains to retire by the end of this year. Of course, life throws curveballs, including the first pandemic in 100 years. As the Norwegians say, aldri si aldri, never say no, never. But I think my timing will be approximately correct, depending on the timing of our Savior's getting your new senior pastor. But back to the sermon title. In a family disagreement at home, who gets the last word? I can tell you, in my home, I definitely do not always get the last word. And when two candidates have a political debate on TV, remember political debates? You know, candidates not standing 6 feet apart, an auditorium full of people sitting next to each other. Remember, it's an election year. In a political debate on TV, which candidate will get that final comment that may linger, they hope, in the minds of those who are seeing and hearing? Speaking of Norwegians, some years back, I served as the interim pastor at the Norwegian Lutheran Memorial Church in Minneapolis, Mindeskirken. Although I preached in English, which is all I could preach in, I did speak and sing the liturgy in Norwegian. One of the native Norwegians in that congregation told me, "Wherever two Norwegians are gathered, you have three opinions." So who got the last word in that congregation? Their history is that a pastor comes from Norway and comes to Minneapolis for 2 or 3 years and then returns to Norway. So I quickly learned in their context, it was oftentimes not the pastor who got the last word. Who or what will get the last word in this nation of ours with our ever-growing economic disparity? And that was before this pandemic. Likely it is and will be magnified and accelerated even more. I'm not talking about feeling guilty if you are blessed and fortunate, privileged to have money. I've both not had money in the bank and had money in the bank, and I much prefer the latter. And I'm not just talking about you, what you or I may do if we have some money. I'm not just talking about our personal choices, although those are important. I am talking bigger picture. I'm talking bigger picture as in when income continues to flow upward, when wealth is concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. As so many middle-income Americans struggle to make it, and as poor people are often left out of the conversation altogether, I wonder, where are we headed? And now with this coronavirus, with so many people already laid off their jobs, and not knowing how many more people will be and for how long, what's the future picture going to look like? The initial reports from New York City indicate that poor people and people of color, specifically Latino and African American people, have been infected at 2 to 3 times the rate as people in more affluent white neighborhoods, and that it's also been twice as deadly for them. Other cities are reporting similar or even worse economic and racial disparities in the face of COVID-19. And then there's the global impact. With the progress the world has been making in recent decades in lifting some people out of poverty, real progress, I heard someone talking the other day about the potential global impact of this coronavirus, potentially setting the world back 20 or more years on the progress it has made in lifting people out of poverty. The Word of God that comes to us through the Scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is biased. It's biased on behalf of those who are disadvantaged, those who are vulnerable, those who are poor and hungry, those whom Jesus calls the least of these. There will always be boatloads of influential lobbyists financed by wealthy and powerful individuals and corporations to protect the interests of those wealthy and powerful individuals and corporations. But in decisions and in matters of public policy that affect the least of these, at home and abroad, and for average Americans here at home, who or what will get the last word? But listen, in regards to these and many other things, isn't this just the way the world works? Isn't the last word always reserved for those with the deepest pockets, those who sit in the halls of power, those who carry the biggest stick? And why all this talk about who gets the last word? Because Easter begs the question. It was the religious authorities who condemned Jesus, the political rulers who sentenced him, and Rome's military who carried out his execution. Jesus, the peasant carpenter's son, himself among the least of these. Seemingly powerless in the face of all that power, his life was completely at their disposal, wasn't it? Yet when the dust settled after Jesus' crucifixion, did those religious authorities, Did Pilate? Did the soldiers, or did even Tiberius, the Roman emperor himself, have the last word? In today's Gospel from John 20, Mary Magdalene is grieving. She is crying right outside the tomb. Jesus' death was hard enough. But now an empty tomb could only mean one thing, a stolen body. Adding insult to injury, grief upon grief. Mary knew the way the world worked. Mary knew who got the last word. Woman, why are you weeping? Apparently neither Mary nor the disciples did know. Apparently, they never factored in the possibility that God might do something completely unexpected. Seemingly out of nowhere, something as unexplainable 2,000 years ago as it remains today. Woman, why are you weeping? Said the gardener to Mary in her grief. In the words of the old African-American spiritual recorded by a host of people, O Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. O Mary, don't you weep, don't you mourn. Pharaoh's army got drowned. O Mary, don't you weep. Living in the light of the resurrection, Easter is a call for me and you to live boldly, trusting that someday, even if it's not this day, God is going to get the last word. Somehow, amidst all the forces of death and destruction, discouragement and despair, violence and injustice, amidst this pandemic with all we know about it, and with all that remains so uncertain, God will get the final word in this world which God made and loves so much. There are so many things we encounter in life that are so unclear, that are so difficult, that are so painful. Things where there seem to be no easy answers, or even seem to be no answers at all. We are a three-boy family, my wife and I. Even up until recently, even all of our cats have been male. My wife, Catherine, has always been vastly outnumbered. Girls seem to have not been in the cards for us. And yet we did have a daughter named Elizabeth. She was born on April 19, 1991. She was born with a rare package of anomalies called CHARGE syndrome. That's an acronym with capital letters C-H-A-R-G-E. She had multiple surgeries, including heart surgery within her first couple of months. Her heart, her breathing, her seeing, her hearing were all impacted. We would not have known about her brain for a couple of years. She wasn't eating and growing enough. And so the next step in the process was to be a surgically implanted feeding tube. She was at Minneapolis Children's Hospital, so we were shown other children who'd had that procedure. Through each difficult decision affecting her life, we talked and counseled, we prayed and we cried. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. We thank God for these two older veteran doctors and older head nurses that we could meet with behind closed doors, that we could ask hard questions of and probe difficult options. We decided no to the feeding tube, that enough was enough. After learning how to hook her up to an IV, we brought her home in July for the first time. A somewhat different decision involving no IV, we were told would probably have brought us before the Minneapolis Children's Board of Ethics, because at that time, a long time ago, Elizabeth, we were told, was probably one of their most ethically difficult cases in a number of years. And we were further advised that the alternate decision with no IV may have brought the media to our front door. These are complex life and death decisions. It's very tough to discern what the right thing to do is with all the technology available to keep someone alive. And now, nearly 30 years later, I think our society is still on the front end of dealing with these issues. And different decisions are made by different families, including people of faith. At home, we took Elizabeth on vacation. Once at a parade, her brothers accidentally dumped her out of a stroller. She went rolling on the sidewalk, just like siblings do. But Elizabeth died at home at the end of August that year. She was just over 4 months. What would have been her first birthday, April 19th, 1992, just happened to be Easter Sunday. And that spoke volumes to me about who will get the last word in her life and who will get the last word in ours. Said the gardener to Mary just outside the tomb, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary knew grief. We knew grief. We know grief. Real grief of all different kinds. I've only been with you at Our Savior's for 7 months as your interim pastor, experiencing my first pandemic in ministry. Got to have something before I retire. And I've heard some of your stories. I'm sure there are many more that I have not heard and that I probably won't hear. Many of you can speak of your own trauma and tragedy. The loss of a loved one, gone too young, a spouse, a child, a brother, a nephew, lost to a car accident, to suicide, to cancer, to murder. Or dealing with the largely hidden suffering from chronic physical illness or mental health struggles, broken marriages, battles with addiction, abusive relationships. A church community is a human community, and we have all this stuff as part of this congregation, as part of you who are listening who haven't been connected to this congregation. Life isn't easy. Life ain't always fair. And as Easter people, we don't deny the reality of any of this. We don't deny the reality of the injustice and poverty in our world. We don't deny the reality of this pandemic and whatever economic fallout will be, the things that plague our world. We don't deny those very real and personal struggles and tragedies we must sometimes walk through. And we don't deny that death is real. And that it will speak its word to each one of us someday. All these things proclaim their words loud and clear. But as Easter people, we are given a glimpse of how the story will eventually turn out. We know who gets the last word. So on this Easter Sunday, I want to ask you, is there something in your life that may feel overwhelming right now, that may feel impossible to get through? Does a tomb seem to have been sealed shut? Do fear and defeat seem to be winning the day? Is all really said and done? Has the final word been spoken? Woman, why are you weeping? Jesus of Nazareth has been raised from death. Christ is alive and on the loose in the world. Easter proclaims it is God who will get the last word. Happy Easter. Amen.